Hi, this is Carolyn, and I'm here with Aaron, and we are thrilled to have Kenny here with us. Kenny is the 4.0 18 plus singles national champion. He's also a former Division I football player and former top 10 track cyclist in Thailand. And most importantly, he's the winner of the UK cheese rolling competition, which has been featured on ESPN's Top 10 Plays, Good Morning America, Yahoo homepage, Sports Illustrated, and over 100 media outlets. So we have a lot of questions for you. Aaron, can you start us off with the first one?
So my first question is not about tennis. We need to hear about the cheese rolling championship that you won.
I first found out about it doing a project in college about obscure sports, and it was, you know, one of the most obscure sports going around. And it's, you know, if you've never seen videos, a lot of people have heard it, but if you've never seen the videos, you definitely got to check it out, because it's literally running down like a ski slope where they roll this giant block of cheese. The cheese can go 70, 80 miles down the hill. No one can beat it, but basically you're racing it, and to see the first one down the hill is you know, crowned champion. And it's a tradition that's been going on since like the Roman times for like 500 years. And it's only been canceled like two times or three times in the last 500. One was like World War II. Two was like COVID. And then one year they just had tons of injuries. So like, even to watch it is kind of crazy, because you see people, you know, major broken arms and legs. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. It was pretty spectacular and crazy. But
where did you do that?
Yeah, so I was filming like a documentary project called One in a Million, about inspiring a million people to like check off their bucket list, pursue their dreams. And it was a goal that I had that I always kind of pushed back when I, you know, when I was working. And like, okay, like, so I refocused and I was like, okay, I'm finally gonna check this one off and go do it. So I wanted to do really big things that year with that project and just in life. So I set the goal, four basically impossible goals. One was to be the first American to win the cheese race. Two was to, they actually do an uphill race too. It's not quite as popular. It's not as dangerous, but it's still an uphill race, so that you run up the hill. It's a separate race. And they have women's and men's divisions and things like that, and kids' divisions. And then three was to make ESPN Sports Center top 10 plays, which was a goal that I had in football that I never accomplished. Uh-huh. And the four was to inspire and reach a million people with my story. And I can proudly say that with winning the cheese race, winning the uphill, and then, you know, the story went worldwide. So I accomplished all those goals.
Wow. You are such an inspiration, because Carolyn and I set goals all the time and we talk about them. We always say we put it out to the world, right? We write them on our Google Doc. And Carolyn's was to play Ash Barty. She put that out like one of the first episodes.
Yes.
But Ash has since retired, but we're going to keep putting it out to the world, because now we feel like she has more time to play tennis with Carolyn.
Absolutely. No, I remember that, listen to that episode, and I don't know her personally, but I know she has more time now since she's retired. So, you know, I really hope she can get that done. And I'm a big believer. If, you know, you write it down, you talk about it, you keep saying it, that it's going to happen eventually.
Yeah, I put it out to the universe. So now I'm just waiting for the universe to respond. So we'll see. I'll keep everyone posted.
And I'm a big believer of that. You're like that 6 degrees of separation, right? And this tennis community is not that big. So absolutely, I think like you just need one person that knows one person that knows one person, and you're there.
Yeah, we're 1 degree from Roger Federer, because we just interviewed someone from Tennis Warehouse, Michelle, who interviewed Roger Federer. So no, we're 2 degrees.
There you go.
I guess.
We're close.
Me too. We're 2 degrees.
We're getting there.
That's right. We're getting there. Well, Kenny actually won the national championship in singles, 18 plus. It's amazing. And he came up with the title, which is 7 Tips to Win More Matches from a National Champion. So I'll start off with the first one, which is setting expectations, goals, and plan of action. What did you mean?
For me, you know, I guess it's important to, like, you know, set those, define those, write them down, review them. So, you know, your goal might not be, you know, national champion right away, or might not even be to win a tough match. But for me, you might be working on something. You might just be playing your best tennis, have opportunities to win, because I certainly play matches against tough opponents where I'm literally just trying to hold my serve every time. I'm winning to try to win 3-4 game. So for me, once I qualified nationals, the goal was to win. And I did lay out a 3-month plan of playing matches, tournaments, gym workouts, and mental and physical training. And then important with goal settings, understanding and developing, you know, growth mindset. You know, you can always improve, you can always get better. You know, our talents and our skills are not fixed. And then ultimately specializing my training, and I laid a roadmap out for success and, you know, while trusting the entire process.
That's great. So the second one that you talked about was be familiar and comfortable with scoring, format, facility, and schedule. Tell us about that one.
Yeah. So, you know, with this format, it was the Fast Four format. So it's definitely something that's not common. You know, it's short games. It's no ad scoring, the way Leds play, the way tie breaks. It's just not something you're used to if you're playing regular, you know, adult tennis typically. So my tip here is really just, you know, make sure that you really understand, especially if it's a new format, how the tie breaks work, how the points work, how the switches, and just get as comfortable if you can. And I'm big about practicing tie breaks for pressure, to simulate pressure. And for this particular case, I played and practiced matches, a lot of those matches with friends in that Fast Four format, just so I could get familiar with it.
Smart.
Have you guys ever played any like weird formats or Fast Four or any other like pro sets or anything like that?
Just at States.
Yeah, or even World Team. I think this is such a good point because it does make a difference. And what we don't do, Aaron, like we'll tie 6-6 with our friends and we won't even play the tie break because we're like, oh, let's just stop. We're both winners, but maybe we should be.
Yeah, I was like, then nobody loses. If you don't play a tiebreaker, then you both walk away winners.
Yeah, but maybe we do need to practice it because I've been losing a lot of my tie breaks lately. So
my format, especially in a new facility, is I like to get there at least 1 hour early before a match. I like to find the check-in table for a tournament, find the trainer station, find the bathroom, the warm-up areas, the food station, the tennis shop. And then I really like to, you know, lay out my bag and really, and I'm just trying to get the most comfortable and really kind of create, in many ways, a home court advantage for myself. And there's an interesting study about this that they actually studied English Football League, which is, you know, soccer over as we know it. And they analyzed like 10,000 matches, actually. And they found that the home team won 64% of their matches.
Wow.
And even with the absence of fans, like obviously, okay, that's the fan support, that's the fan cheering, all that. But even they went back and analyzed this with the absence of fans during COVID, and the numbers stayed the same. The research asked, like, well, how are these numbers staying the same when fans weren't there? And they showed that, you know, playing in one's home stadium, sleeping in your own bed, the added pressure of expectations of we should win because we're playing at home, you know, certainly were key factors. And so really the takeaway from this is, you know, try to create yourself a home court advantage wherever you play.
That's really smart. Yeah, just being comfortable in your environment.
That's great. And number three, we've got getting prepared for match day, routines, warm up, focus, mindset.
Yes. So I'm big about, you know, all these things, and routines is about getting familiar, and I think they help you focus. So like it kind of starts with match day, and it's like, so my go-to meal is like strawberry oatmeal with banana and coconut water. And like every time I eat that, I just like, I start to feel ready because I really don't eat that honestly when I'm not playing tennis. So that's like my go-to meal. And then my go-to snacks, like crackers with cheese, Rice Krispies. I actually heard that from other tennis players. They use that also. And then I always have, you know, like extra fruit snacks or glucose gummies. And I always make sure, especially when it's hot, to carry a couple cold sport drinks and cold water for every match. What do you guys use for your, do you have like your go-to meal, your go-to snacks?
I don't, but I need to. And when you said Rice Krispies, is that Rice Krispies with milk? Like Rice Krispies cereal?
No, like Rice Krispies treats. Yeah, something just sugary eat, like, yeah.
So I'll answer that question because we have, Carol and I have an episode coming up about superstitions. So my meals and sometimes my preparation, I feel like I actually am going to change my mindset after this conversation because that's actually, you're calling it preparation. And I, a lot of times, thought of it as superstition. So I would listen to the same music on the way to matches. I would do what you did, eat the same thing.
What were you eating, Aaron?
Well, I stopped doing that because I thought it was kind of taking over and I was feeling a little bit crazy that it was more of a superstition rather than a prep. But I eat bananas. I do take stuff to matches. I actually take those applesauce squeezers because that's something that you can just get quick sugar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I really only typically drink water. Caroline, you do have a routine. You're just not saying it, but she always has like Gatorades or some sort of hydration
and Coke,
drink, which actually I think.
And water.
And soda. Yeah. Coca-Cola.
There's a lot I can improve on. There's some things I can improve on. I can feel it.
I think we all have these rituals, yes, and these super, whatever you want to call them. It's just like, if you think about them and review them and learn how to like get them, help you to focus, I think that's a great thing. So like with mindset, for me, like when the match is about to start, you know, you got to focus on that match, because especially when you're playing tournaments, it's easily to get focused on your last match or the next match. And you're kind of like, really, you have to play in that mindset of this match is the most important right match now of my life, right? You want to focus in the now. So before a match, to help me focus, especially in singles, even in doubles, I don't like to socialize much. I like to put my phone on do not disturb and just really think about my keys to winning. Even in doubles, like I'm normally off kind of getting myself ready and mentally prepared. So then along those same lines is like a ritual. When I get to there, I like to do like a 20-minute dynamic warm-up. And a lot of times I like to do that indoors away from people and like, you know, with headphones in, listening to music. And then if I have time to get on the court before, I like to do court visualization where I take my racket out there, but no ball. And I swing my shots and I line up and I practice my overhead and my serves and backhand and forehand just to like, you know, feel that moment. My match ritual is, you know, when I'm playing a tournament, I get the court assignment from the check-in table. I walk over with my wife, I give her a kiss, and I get ready. I always wear a headband pretty much all the time. So I put my headband on and I kind of turn that switch on, like it's time to go. So just in the last couple of years, I think I've always been doing these kind of things, but just in the last couple of years, I've really started to think about it and kind of make sure that I'm doing my rituals and plan it out, just to kind of check it off and move through that process. Because before, I thought these rituals honestly were kind of weird, all these quirky things. Because like, you know, you watch pro tennis and there's these people that, you know, I'm sure you guys know, but like Nadal, I love to watch Nadal, and he's super OCD about his bottles and like stepping on lines and all these things. And then you talk about like Djokovic, like he can bounce the ball like 20 times sometimes. But I realized that like having rituals kind of like this really helped me calm down and focus and really serve better and play better in those biggest pressure points. So my personal ritual is like, especially when I serve, I like to wipe my forehead, like just to touch myself, get focused, like, okay, tap my head. It's like that. I do 3 or 4 bounces and then I serve. And then when I return a serve, I like to self-talk. So if someone was standing right next to me, they're like, why is this guy talking to himself? But like, return a serve, I tell myself like, okay, get ready. I say it out loud, like get ready. And then like, especially in a tough point, I have this 3 keywords. Like I say fight, grind, win. And that really just like, whenever I say that, you know, like if you ever feel those moments where like the back of the hairs on your neck stand up, like you get that adrenaline rush, even by me just saying that right now, I can feel like the adrenaline pumping a little bit.
I love that.
Yeah. He's Matt talking himself.
Yeah, you can call that meditation in some ways. Like there's a lot of different terms you can use, but just, you know, if you can figure out how to, you know, use that, then it's definitely will help. And then the last part of that was the focus. Focus on what you control. What you can control is your preparation, your effort, your mindset, your reactions, and your adjustments to play. And then don't focus on what you can't control, right? You can't control your opponent. You can't control weather and court conditions. You can't really control bad calls or really on-court distractions. So if you want to learn more about this, I'm big into these studies and I read a lot. So like you want to learn more about flow theory or getting in the zone. And there's a really cool study even about tennis, about quiet eye study. And my sports background has enabled me to work with sports psychologists in multiple sports. So I totally, you know, grab this stuff. And I really do think it's powerful stuff that everyone should incorporate.
I agree.
Thanks very much to Kenny for being on the podcast. We have one more episode with Kenny where he gives us more tips. Also, if you would like to see him winning the cheese rolling competition, we have a link to it in our show notes. Thanks so much for listening and hope to see you on the court soon.